This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
I'm very well. We look like a couple of crazy little dancing daisies during the intro music to this wonderful garden show.
But that is the custom. I learned that when I started with you a little over a year and a half ago, that was the custom, right? That's what you do.
That's what we do. That's how we get ready to go to start talking gardening as we dance.
It's like the seventh inning stretch before you start. You just kind of get the blood pumping. Yeah, for sure.
Daisies waving in the wind.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I've been up and about since just after 5. That's when my clock goes off, even when I don't set my alarm. And we've been enjoying some rain here in the Collingwood area for about the last hour and a half, 2 hours. And it's a nice gentle rain, so it's just soaking into the ground beautifully.
And the robins are dancing around, so happy, I'm sure, as well. Here, it's overcast. The heat wave seems to have broken. So I'm in Prince Edward County. We're only running, I think, 19 degrees right now, which is amazing. That's the first time we've been below 20 in about 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm. It has been very, very steamy up here in the Collingwood area, too. And I know in the GTA, they've been dealing with the same thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what I want to do? I want to give out the numbers, and then we can keep chatting. But we would love for you to give us a call with any gardening question. It could be an inside gardening question. It can be an outside gardening question. It can be a transplanting or a pruning question. And, oh, my goodness, it can even be, although I don't recommend this, it could even be an amaryllis question. But let's not really, we don't have to go there. But what the heck, eh?
The numbers, we'll talk about anything.
We will talk about anything, yes. Okay. And the number to call if you live in Toronto is 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, anywhere else in this beautiful province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. There we are. And what have you been doing in your garden this week, Charlie? What's going on? Did you dig up the garlic yet?
No, I've been sitting in the shade looking at
looking at the garlic.
I do not abide hot, humid weather well. I know some people thrive in it and get very energized. I, on the other hand, feel the opposite. So honestly, I'm trying to think, what have I, well, you know what? What I call whipper snipping, or trimming the lawn, the edges, et cetera, of the lawn. That's kind of a daily activity here because it's such a big property. It's, I go through one battery charge, which takes about 25 minutes, and then I put it away till the next day, and then I keep going. And it's kind of every day I do some whipper snipping, it seems. But weeding, I mean, the rain here has been lovely, but the weeds have been loving it. So we're at, really like gargantuan Jurassic Park feeling green, mushy leaves, so much everywhere weeds, but they're coming up hither and yon, and Elliot takes his lawn very seriously, so he's been out there digging dandelions, and I've been out there pulling. We have milkweed, a lot of milkweed, and lots of monarch butterflies. I'll say that I have some pretty cool wildlife happening in my yard right now, which is nice.
The monarchs, they love that milkweed, don't they?
It's the only thing they eat, and they're the only ones who eat it. So I've got swallowtail butterfly larva on my parsley. Actually, they've just left. They've just gone to pupate. Mm-hmm. And I've also got monarch larva at all sizes, tiny, tiny ones and bigger ones eating milkweed, and butterflies floating around laying eggs. So yeah, things are happening. And the little tree frogs have come back to my porch. So they're living on my porch again, eating the insects every night. When the lights are on and the insects are there, the frogs get very fat and happy.
Beautiful. Well, I am, hopefully not fat, but I'm happy. I'm happy that we're doing the garden show. We are going to pause now. We have to hear some important and appreciated messages. And when we come back, we will have much more here on the garden show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, my goodness, I forgot to do a couple things when we started today. I was so, like, excited by your stories about fat frogs and about your trimming and all that, that I forgot to tell everybody that, of course, we want you to let Carlos know if you're a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings. And also, we want you to call off and call early, and one question per call, please. I'm going to repeat that one. One question per call, please. There we are. Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have John, who is calling from Georgetown. Welcome to The Garden Show, John.
I have several sunflowers. And something is eating the sunflower leaves. They look like lace.
Okay. What's eating? Could be all kinds of things out there right now eating. Could even be Japanese beetles. Like, there's a lot of hungry critters out there lacing the leaves. The main thing is, are you growing the sunflowers for the seeds or just because they're beautiful? Or what's your intention with the sunflowers?
Just that they're nice. Beautiful plants. I have about three or four groups of them in the yard, and two of them have really almost been destroyed by something.
Okay, yeah, I mean, even earwigs could be eating the leaves, though they do tend to prefer flowers. What I would do, have you inspected closely? Have you seen any evidence of any insects?
No. I've checked in the daytime, at nighttime, and so on, and I've never seen anything around them.
Okay, so that's always a bit challenging because the insecticides that we have available, like a soap solution or, you know, bug be gone kind of a pyrethrin solution, all of those are based on contacting the insect. So you need to have an insect evident to coat it with the insecticide in order to kill it. So that can be a bit challenging if you see no insects on there. Just trying to think what else you could do. I mean, because I know I've got the same kind of thing going on. Now, what I would suggest you do is take another look at the sunflowers and double check, because you've got older leaves at the bottom and newer leaves at the top. In my property, I've got leaves that have turned to lace by insects, a birch tree, for example, where there's no tissue in the leaves, but there's lace left behind. But that was a couple of weeks ago, and now the new growth is fine. It's all beautiful leaves. So just double check. It is possible that what was destroying your sunflowers has moved on and that the new growth is fine. There's nothing to kill. I mean, there's no reason to race around. If you feel better getting some soapy solution out, you can use it. It won't hurt the plant. But if there's no insects there, it won't hurt them either. So, I mean, it's the kind of thing you got to kind of watch the plants. Just make sure that if the new growth is fine, we've probably moved on from that insect and there's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Let me know.
Okay. Good luck with those sunflowers. I love sunflowers. I saw a bunch the other day in the store. And I didn't buy them, but I saw them. They were about three different colors. So they were a yellow, a red one. And now, have they been manipulated some way?
No. They've just been selected for different colors. It's like corn, right? Think of all the colored corn you can get. I mean, I'm growing carrots that are purple and white and orange and yellow. So it's not, there's no GMO when it comes to vegetables or ornamental plants. So don't ever worry about that because GMO or genetically modified research and development requires billions of dollars, and nobody wants to spend that kind of money on sunflowers or corn or carrots. Right. So that, yeah, the GMO manipulation happens with crops, but not horticultural crops. So that's just something to mention. When we have interesting different plants out there, it's just selection. It's breeding and selection.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked is because probably about 2 months ago, I picked up a bunch of springy looking flowers, and they were bright blues and greens and oranges and all that. And of course, then all the water turned this dyed color. And I thought, they've done something to those flowers. They dyed them.
Right. Yeah. That's a different kind of manipulation. It's just food coloring. Okay. Yeah. You take white White mums are a classic, right? Because they're,
yeah, I think that's what they were. Yeah.
Poofy flowers. So you take your white flowers, you set up little vases with different colors, bright blue, bright orange, whatever, red. You do a fresh cut on the cut flower into the beautiful dyed water. And of course, the plant ends up with some of that beautiful dye inside it.
Okay. So it's like Easter eggs.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
It's like the same. Okay. Well, that's why I wondered. When I saw those sunflowers, I thought, I wonder if they've done a similar thing. No. But it didn't actually look like that. I think there was orange, yellow, and red. They were all in the beautiful burnt, you know, sort of rusty colors. They were great.
I love sunflowers too, but I don't need to plant them because the chipmunks do it for me.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're very clever, those chipmunks. They collect the sunflowers from beneath the bird feeders. And instead of just eating them right away, they carry them in little bunches. They'll plant like 6 seeds at a time in different parts of the garden, in my pots, with my tomatoes and my cucumbers. I have sunflowers all over the place.
Yeah. One day you're going to hear a little knock on your door and one of those chipmunks is going to be there with a little invoice and say, "Here you go. We're here to get payment."
No, I let them grow. They harvest the seeds.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. I have to take another break. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. And it may be raining where you are. It may not. It's hard to say. It's kind of been one of those weeks. It's been overcast. The sun's been trying to break through. It's been a real mixed bag this week.
It's pretty overcast at my house right now. I don't see a lot of people outside. I think it's, one of those watch the weather days.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we have Evelyn on the line, and Evelyn is calling from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Evelyn.
Well, thanks so much, Dean, and good morning, both of you. Charlie, thank you for replying to my email about replacing a birch tree with a katsura. So we're not concerned about the price of the tree. It was the quote that we got around removal of the tree. It's about 40 years old, and we want to de-stump as well. So I was just wondering if you had any recommendations, references, for people that do that type of work. We've had 2 quotes so far.
Okay, so when you're in a situation where particularly you want a dead birch or a dead large tree removed from your property and you want the stump removed, so they don't really remove it, they grind it, right? The stump grinder is like a chainsaw that goes under the ground the length of the saw, so that's about 10 inches, and just chews up the stump from ground down the length of the blade, and that allows you to create a garden over that stump or whatever, but the roots and stuff are all still there. What I would do, it's specialized equipment that's required, and it's also a skill. Bringing down dead trees is a skill, not just anybody can do it safely. So you've got a couple of options. One is the International Society of Arboriculture, so ISA is the acronym, and I think just Google either, International Society of Arboriculture, but I think it's just ISA.org, and that can take you to local arborists, so in your area, arborists who are in a position to own the equipment and very efficiently remove that birch. I think planting a brand new tree probably, like you say, isn't your biggest challenge. It's more the elimination of the dead tree. I know back when Elliot and I first moved to Richmond Hill 30-odd years ago, there were a couple of dead birches on the property, and it is hard, and you're kind of broke when you first move into a house. So I don't know how it all started, but we started digging out some junipers that I hated. And then before you knew it, the neighbors all came out with come-alongs. So a come-along is a kind of a winch. So different neighbors, different come-alongs attached to other trees and hydro poles. It was pretty interesting. And we pulled out the birches, just one little cinch at a time. They came down because they were dead. And so dead trees are easier to get out than live trees. But so there's that. If you've got you know, the brute force of some folks to help you. But otherwise, yeah, it really is. It's a chainsaw and then a stump grinder you're looking for. So ISA or landscapeontario.org for local, you know, certified folks.
Okay. Thank you. And how quickly does that tree grow, the Petzura?
Oh, it grows quickly. It's if it gets sufficient water, because it does like its water, you can get up to a meter a year growth from that plant. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And sorry, you called it a come-along winch?
Yeah, a come-along is another term for a kind of winch. And it's just a handy way to slowly but surely either remove, like it's, people, they use them for straightening up trees, but you have to stabilize it against something that's stable, right? Yeah, I'm not sure who you've got in your family who could help or something like that. I mean, these are tools that you do need to understand how they work, but it is a very effective way to get some work done that, you know, we just, unless you've got the old donkeys or oxen in the barn to help you with this kind of thing, come along is a handy thing.
Yeah. If not, I'll come out and see if you have any.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck with that, Evelyn. And Charlie, I looked up that that website, and it's actually, it is ISA-ARBOR.com, and that is the organization that you were talking about.
But so is that...
That's the International Society of Arboricultural.
But is that the Canadian site?
I don't know. I looked up some of the, I was looking at ISA dot some of the other, just on its own, and I wasn't finding it. So I just, I apologize. I thought, I just.
Yeah, because it's an international organization, so it'll have different websites for different countries.
Right. Okay.
So that's why I was just wondering if.
Okay, we can always check at the break too. Yeah. But that's the one that I found there. Okay. We can go to our next caller. We're going to Mississauga. I do apologize. It looks like Lessick on the phone. Is that correct? Good morning. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm pretty well. It's raining here, but that's good. I have my question is related to the maple tree. A few years ago, it started to grow on its own. In our front lawn, it's in the shadow of a huge mulberry tree, but still gets a lot of sun. The question is that all leaves, I think it started this year, all leaves are covered with the white spots, like totally covered with white spots. The spots are diameter of 1/4 inch and... I don't know why it happened and how to treat it.
Okay, it's a great question. Okay, two things. So a maple tree that started from seed, but you said it's in the shade of a large mulberry tree. So make sure that this is a maple tree that you really want, because some maples are more, you know, are slower growing and hardwoods and beautiful trees. Some than others. So you don't, I would not allow Manitoba maple to grow on my property. Silver maple, I would be a little hesitant. And for sure, Norway maple would be low on my list as well. So if you want to take a picture of that maple tree and send it to me, I can help you identify what kind of maple it is. Like a picture of, you know, a good close up of the leaves and the plant. What's happening to it now is powdery mildew. The conditions this summer have been optimal for the growth of fungus, and powdery mildew looks like somebody from the sky has pulled out the baby powder and sprinkled white powder on the leaves of our plants. There's many species that are affected by powdery mildew, lilacs, serviceberry, maples, and Monarda, also known as bee balm. These are all really commonly phlox. They're very commonly susceptible to powdery mildew, particularly if they're not in full sun. So remember, a full, sunny, airy, open location slows down the growth of mildew.
Okay.
Anywhere in many of our yards, of course, we have fences, we have lots of plants, so we have dead air, we don't have a lot of good air circulation, and sometimes we don't have great sun penetration either, and that's the condition that leads to mildew. I wouldn't worry about it. It's not going to kill any plants. It doesn't look nice. It's what we call unsightly, But it won't kill the plants. It'll just look unsightly for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. You can go out and pick the leaves off. Do not put them in your composter, into the brown paper bags at the end of the driveway off the property. But in the meantime, you know, you can just leave them alone. But then in the fall, make sure you do a good cleanup. You do not want to keep the spores of the mildew on your property if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm. So at this moment, at this time, I don't need to do anything with this.
Do nothing you can do. In the future, you can prevent powdery mildew when the conditions are like they've been this summer. And what you would do is you would spray a fungicide every time there was about a 48-hour window before a rain, which would have been tough in the Toronto area because it's been raining so much. You cannot cure fungal diseases, but you can prevent them.
I understand. Thanks. So am I? Could I send you a picture of this tree for to cell phone or to mailing? Can you please provide the email or?
Yeah, exactly. You use your phone and take some great photos. Dean is going to tell everybody my email address. So that gives you a minute to grab a pen and a paper to write it down.
You got it. Yes. Charlie's email is C, as in Charlie, .Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay. C.Dobbin at mzmedia.com. Great way if you want to send a picture to Charlie. Not of yourself, of course, but, you know, or you could be with your plant anyway, like a selfie with a plant, you know. There we go.
Sure.
Charlie, I did some more searching. I did some more sleuthing while you were talking. And the website that you're looking for is isaontario.com.
That's
what we needed, ISO Ontario. So it's the same organization, but it's the Ontario chapter.
Yeah, ISA. So Icicle Sam Apple Ontario.com. That is the website for finding a certified arborist to do any kind of tree work on your property.
Gotcha. And I know exactly the equipment that you're talking about for the stumping, because in the adjacent property to us, they had an ash tree, which they had to take down because of the ash disease. And so they came down and took that. And then I watched this gentleman, and you're right, it's like a chainsaw on a lever that you just, you know. And so since he was there, we had a few on our property that needed done. And so I went over and I said, you know, when you're done that, he said, yeah. So we just paid him to come onto our property and do the same thing while he had the equipment out.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, it's actually, when you mention ash, remember it's the emerald ash borer, which has been killing all the ashes. So it's not a disease. It's actually an invasive insect from overseas. And it's, you know, it's just devastated all the native ashes, not the mountain ash, but all the native ashes. And it's quite disheartening, actually, though this too shall pass. But right now there's just a lot of dead ash standing here in the county. So when you drive, it almost feels a bit otherworldly, like, you know, like a war ravaged or something, just a lot of barren dead trees. Yeah, in the next 10 or so years, a lot of them will drop and new trees will grow and we'll forget about ash trees ever having existed other than the few that survive. But right now it's not very pretty. And I know in the more urban environment, yes, you must remove those trees because they do become a danger.
Right. Okay, we have lots of room on the line. So give us a call with your gardening question. The Toronto number is 416-360-0740, or if you live anywhere else in the province of Ontario, here's the number you want to use because it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We are now going to go to Elizabeth, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Elizabeth is calling from Scarborough. Welcome to the Garden Show, Elizabeth.
Good morning. My four orchid plants have finished blooming, and I'm wondering, is there any special, that long stem is kind of ugly. Can you cut it off? Because I noticed that the last time it bloomed, it seemed to sprout a flowering stem from halfway up that stem.
Well, exactly, which is why I hesitate to cut off the flower stem that you said is quite ugly.
Yeah.
As long as it's green, I'd leave it alone.
Okay.
If no more growth is going to come from it, it'll turn brown and then eventually black and it'll fall off naturally. So just keep an eye on it. As long as it's green, leave it alone. Any brown or black tips, anything like that, you can trim.
Okay. Now, is there anything, I mean, I don't expect they'll bloom for, what, 6 months or so?
No, orchids can bloom nonstop. They're like African violets. You provide the right world for them, the right moisture, nutrient, you know, light levels, et cetera. They can bloom nonstop.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Now, is there, so while there's no flowers, is there any, you know, regimen for watering?
It's the same as it would be when they're flowering. It's interesting you bring this up because Dean was asking me what I did over this last week, and I was avoiding going outside. So one of the things I did is we collect the water from our dehumidifier. So I've got pails of beautiful, clean water that comes out of the air. Yeah. And I put orchid fertilizer into my pails, and I dunked all my orchids into the water right under. So the pot, right under the water, the pot, the leaves, no flowers on them right now, but right under till all the air bubbles came out. Then I drained the pots so there's no water stopped pouring out of them, and put them back into their eastern location. So yes, you can fertilize, and a really thorough watering, a dunking like that, is one of the best things you can do for your orchids.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much then. So I can expect them to bloom again. You know, the amaryllis I put outside, and I'll bring it in the fall, but I wondered about the orchids. So they're just okay to sit in the window. Okay.
Oh, for sure. Yep. You just give them, like I said, that thorough watering. It's because orchids don't grow in soil. They've got moss or bark or something.
Yes.
So by putting them right underwater like that, you eliminate all the air that's in between the particles of media, and you fill all those pockets where there was air with water, clean, fresh, nutrient-rich water, and then tilt the pot so that it drains. And, oh, I tell you, my orchids right now are purring.
Wow. Now, tell me, what is the... It almost looks like roots that are growing outside. Is that what they are? I mean, there's these light green. Some of them are 4 or 5 inches long.
Yes, they are roots, and they do need them. That orchids... Orchids are not what we call terrestrial plants. That's why they're not growing in soil. So that's why you see roots above ground. They're very different. They've evolved very differently from many other plants and are able to absorb some of their needed nutrients from the air. Plants need air as well, of course, as the obvious, you know, nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium. So let the roots thrive above ground. They should be light green, and they should have almost a silver sheath on them.
They do, yes.
Perfect. That's exactly what you want.
Okay. Now, I have one that has a little plant growing sort of at the end of one of these sprouts, and it's forming leaves and everything else. Now, should that be cut off and then planted in some whatever?
Yes, that's a baby orchid, and yes, you need a little tiny pot. It could just be a little tiny clay pot or a proper orchid pot, and you need some. What I've been finding easiest work with these last few years is sphagnum moss, and you can buy moss in a small bag. Garden centers at this time of year would have that sort of thing. Yeah, and you just pre-moisten the moss. Make sure you've got that little tiny pot. You just very carefully wrap a bit of moist moss around the roots and pop it into a pot, and then put it there beside its mother, and it too will grow.
Okay.
Okay. Right, thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Right. Bye-bye.
All the best with your orchids, your baby orchids, your big orchids, your...
And she snuck in the amaryllis word.
She did. She snuck in the amaryllis word. I was like, holy cow.
You
good for her.
Fell off your chair.
I did. I fell off my chair. I loved it. Here we are in July talking about amaryllis already.
No, I've got lots of them outside. I've got like a whole nursery of amaryllis out in my backyard in pots.
You know what? I am embarrassed to say this, but you know what? That call reminded me that I have not put my amaryllis outside, and I need to do that. I'm so silly. I'm just still sitting inside.
Oh, I need to do that. Silly.
Okay. I am remiss. Okay, we have to take our next break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round.
This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, welcome back to The Garden Show on this. It's hard to believe, Charlie, the 29th of July, the last Saturday Garden Show in July.
I know, it's hard to believe, but nice big long weekend next weekend.
Yes, indeed. And it has felt, because of that heat, that we have been in the dog days of summer, hasn't it? It's felt like that. Yeah.
I think we'll be getting a lot more mildew questions over the next few weeks.
Yeah, because of all the moisture and the humidity. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, to help people get us those questions, I'm going to give out the numbers again, because we have lots of room on the lines. We have open lines, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number, or 1-866-740-4740. And we have a first-time caller on the line, Charlie. We have Susie, who is calling from Thornhill. Welcome to The Garden Show, Susie.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm pleased that you fitted me in.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you your garden wings. It's excitement here. There we are. Woohoo!
Bigger wings to get through this stuff. But anyway, my daughter gave me a small cherry tree 5 years ago, and it's been growing beautifully. It looks wonderful. And the past couple of years, it's been making cherries on the limbs. But the problem is that the damn squirrels are getting up there before I can do anything and taking all my cherries. How do I prevent them from getting up and stealing all that stuff?
Damn squirrels. All right. If you were a commercial cherry tree grower, cherry orchard, you would have a couple of tricks up your sleeve. You might use dogs to scare away squirrels.
Oh, we have a dog.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, we do.
Dogs can be quite helpful when it comes to keeping little varmints out of our fruit. But of course, it means leaving the dogs out all the time. Yeah. Of course, if you get down to Niagara, when the grapes are ripening up and the birds want to steal the grapes, you're hearing cannons nonstop, big booming cannons to scare away the birds. And that can work with squirrels. So it's, you don't have to necessarily pull out a shotgun, but it's the idea of loud noises to frighten them. Otherwise, back in the old days, they used to use nets. It was like big nets would get draped over the trees with a fine enough mesh that the squirrels can't get through the mesh. The birds can still pick at some of your cherries, but the idea is just to try and protect them if you're really growing this as a crop.
Oh, I know. I see a cherry. I go for it, and one of them grabs it and flies off onto another tree.
But as the cherry tree gets bigger, soon you'll have so many cherries, you'll be happy to share them.
Well, if I do, then I'll send you down some. How about that?
Perfect. I love it.
I love it. Love it. Thanks for the call, and good luck with your cherry tree there, Susie.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I was just picturing the way that Susie described that. I was just picturing her like in a tug of war with a squirrel over a cherry, pulling from either side.
It's mine.
It's mine. And of course, this brings to mind what I have been suggesting right from day one, the Garden Show slingshot. I've been saying, like, this is how you just sit there.
And be funny, have different size slingshot for different size pests.
Yes. And we could put.
You have to know your pests too.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Sometimes people think, there's a bee. Like, it's funny, like, sometimes we think something's bad when it's not, I think is my point. It's not everything is as bad as we think. I mean, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. We can expand on that after if something comes to mind. I can see your wheels turning, trying to think of the best example. You almost mentioned bees there. I am a big bee fan.
Right.
I don't know if you saw the little bit of footage. I posted about a 30-second video on Instagram about a week ago. And, a whole bunch of allium that we have. And I think in this, like, 3 or 4 square feet of allium, we must have had about 18 bees buzzing around. They were just having a party. They were loving that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not scared by bees. And believe me, I was stung a number of times as a kid. But I think they're divine. And they're so important.
Right. And I think the other thing is that we tend to call everything that's yellow and black a bee.
Right.
So there's wasps. There's lovely, lovely little insect called a hoverfly. Okay. And it looks like a tiny bee, but they hover.
Yep.
So if you watch them, they're like little helicopters. They can literally hover and spot. They can even fly backwards, kind of like hummingbirds. So, I mean, that's my point, is that you got to be good at recognizing what things are. Don't just kill anything indiscriminately because you think it's something when it's not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're really close to break, so let's do that now. And then we have a couple of callers on the line. We'll get to them right in a few minutes. We'll be right back on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We do have The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin here on Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, we're going to go to our next caller, which is John from Mississauga. Good morning. Welcome, John.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie. It's two weekends in a row, eh?
Yeah.
Time is not fruit tree, Charlie. I don't know if it can happen. Last year, actually, I'm looking at my photos. Around August, I had white lilies, and they were full of lilies. White lilies. This time, they're all different color. They're all pink. Is it possible?
Yeah, it is possible. That's interesting. Interesting they go from white to pink. It's usually the other way around. Most of the colored plants that change color usually go to white, in my experience. Gladiolas do this all the time. So what's going on there? There's two sort of, I don't really know what's going on. I don't think anybody really knows. One argument is that in that mass of lilies you had last year, some of them were like more vigorous than others. So this year, the vigorous ones have outgrown the less vigorous. So it appears like last year's lilies have turned color, but really what's happened is the pink has predominated. They were the toughest, the biggest, the fastest growing. So they outgrew everybody else. So now you see a bunch of pink. The other argument is that the actual flowers did change color, but nobody really knows why.
Because I tell you, Charlie, to be honest with you, if you don't mind, I will send you a picture from last August and this year.
Sure, maybe 10 for sure. Happy to see it.
If that's the case.
Happy to see it. It's always interesting when that happens. And, you know, good on you to recognize that that's happening.
Well, because I rather have them white. My daughter-in-law gave me around it. Now I have lots. You know, the same, to be honest with you, with the day lilies. Now I have so many bulbs that next year I have to take them off because they're taking over my roses and my other flowers.
Yes, so, exactly. And are we talking day lilies or lilies or both?
Well, no. To tell you the truth, I put two things in there. They were lilies, they were white, and now they're sort of pinkish colors, right? And like you said, probably that's what happened. Probably I think that's what happened. But in the meantime, on the other side of the patio, I have day lilies, and they are, there's around maybe 15 of them in one group.
Yes, but they are very prolific.
Charlie, if you don't mind. I'll send you a picture from last August and this time.
Yeah. All right. Send me pictures. You know the email. C.Dobbin.
Thank you very much, always. Take care.
Bye, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Always enjoy hearing from John. And that's a very, that's an interesting kind of happenstance that they can change color like that.
Well, that's the thing is, are they really changing color or are there certain plants growing faster than other plants?
Right.
Right.
Outgrowing them.
Yeah.
Okay. We have another first-time caller on the line. We have Joanna, and Joanna's calling from Muskoka. Welcome to The Garden Show, Joanna.
Thank you.
And I'm going to give you your garden wings before we go a step further. There you go. Garden wings
to the
for
show.
Joanna.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. So my question is, I transplanted rhubarb from my house in Schaumburg to my new house in Muskoka, and I put the rhubarb in a sunny area, but it's on sort of like a downslope towards the water. So I'm thinking maybe the soil might be too wet for it, because it doesn't, like, it grew, but it's very spindly.
Okay, how much sun is it in?
It's like all afternoon, like from it's western right. facing.
Okay, so usually when you mentioned above the water, so on a slope, if anything, it would be a fairly dry spot because the water would be moving down to the lake. But it has been a fairly moist summer. So I'm not sure, but have you been getting the same kind of rain as Southern Ontario has?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's hard to say because every season is a new season. We know, just ensure that the rhubarb has the following, keeping in mind that Muskoka soil tends to be very rocky. It also tends to be very low pH because of all the evergreens and the decomposing needles that make up the soil on the Canadian right. Shield. So make sure that where that rhubarb was planted, you had supplemented the soil with a good quality organic-based soil. Could have just been one single bag of, you know, triple mix, or, you know, even the black earth they sell at the grocery stores can be pretty good for supplementing Muskoka native soil. And again, full sun, minimum 6 hours of sun daily. That better soil will help retain water if your soil is too well drained, but it'll also help drain if for whatever reason your soil tends to be a bit soggy. So the main thing is, yeah, lots of sun, good air circulation, and a reasonably good soil, and patience. The rhubarb will take a year or two to get established.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it's right near where blueberry bushes grow, so I didn't know right. if that
well,
had any
so there you either. There you know, if the blueberries are happy, that's a low pH, lower than what the rhubarb wants. If it's really close to blueberries, you're gonna, well, the rhubarb will figure it out, or you may have to move it somewhere and get some horticultural lime to raise the pH a tiny bit. A simple pH meter will help you find out what the pH is of the soil around the rhubarb. Blueberries love it down in the 6.4, 6.5, 6.2, mm-hmm. Whereas rhubarb wants it more like 6.8, 6.9.
Okay.
Thanks
gotcha.
For calling.
Super. Yeah, thanks for the call, Joanna. And good luck with your rhubarb.
Yeah.
And the callers today have made me think about rhubarb pie, blueberry pie, and cherry pie. I got them all on my brain now.
And now we're going to talk about garlic pie.
Yeah. No, I don't want garlic pie, but I want garlic.
Yeah. Once this rain lets up here and it dries out a bit, I have been putting off harvesting my garlic. So just to remind everybody, yeah. I'm sure that we're well past garlic harvest time for many of us. Wonderful website for those of you that are looking for more information, Garlic Growers of Ontario, one word, garlicgrowersofontario.com. So everything you ever want to know about garlic, it's pretty cute. The homepage starts with Garlic Growing 101, the Beginner's Reference Guide. And if you follow that down, it'll talk a bit about harvesting and then curing the garlic. So that's what I'm going to have to do. I don't have that much garlic, but it is time to get it out of the ground. You leave it too long, you lose quality. You harvest it too soon, you don't get as big a bulb as you would want. But
gotcha. That was my... Now, what happens if we just leave it in the ground? Will it grow again next year or will it rot?
No, it should grow again, but there'll be nothing harvestable. You'll lose your crop if you leave it in the ground. It will probably keep growing, but it'll just be like almost a bunch of garlic growing all too close together, and none of it will do well. Yeah, you need to separate the cloves and plant them individually in order to get good garlic bulbs for the next year.
Right. And what is the indicator quickly? Like when the scapes come up and they start curling around, is that generally when we start to harvest or a little bit later?
No, the scapes are the flowers.
Yeah. But so I mean, is that the indicator as to when to pull them up or?
No. You're removing scapes back in June, usually early June.
Okay. Gotcha.
Whereas we do our harvesting more in July. second or third or even fourth week in July. So how do you know when it's time to harvest your garlic? Well, the tips of the green leaves will start to turn yellow. And when they do, then you keep an eye and you remember that you just want to watch. Once you've got the tips of 3 to 5 of the leaves turning yellow and then brown, get out your digging fork and pop them up out of the ground, hand remove the soil and up into the air for curing.
Nice. Okay.
That's my job. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Carlos. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.